It's time for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. Every week, Steve will give us timely tips for caring for our plants. He'll answer your questions and give us expert advice. Now here's a walk through the garden with Steve Stone.
Walking through the garden with Steve Stone, tiptoeing through the tulips, or whatever. Sorry about the goof up. I'm not sure what happened, but we didn't get our intro, and it started off on a song, so...
That's no problem. I'm okay with it, as long as you're okay with it.
Well, I'm not. I think I've figured out what the problem was, but it shouldn't have happened. Anyway, but here we are.
Yeah, a lot of things to get to this week. Mostly, I guess I wanted to start with, it's been, thank goodness, the heat and the humidity have subsided. Boy, this morning, it's just, if you haven't been outdoors yet, it's fantastic. Feels like fall.
Yeah.
Cool. Very little humidity. It just feels so nice compared to what we have been dealing with, which was the oppressive humidity that we've had for a week now. But anyhow, I know there's been showers blowing through our area, and it seems like Coldwater, Salina, Walpauk has gotten some showers. I know Fort Recovery's been missing all the rain, which I guess might be good for the tractor pulls this weekend. Looked like they had one heck of a crowd down there last evening.
It was very big. It was a regular, normally that size crowd is a good Saturday. Saturday is usually 30 to 50% higher than Friday. So if that holds true, it's going to make up for some losses we had at the first tractor pull. So
yeah, I was kind of drive by to keep track of things, I guess, just to be nosy. And the first one we had this year, I was I personally was kind of disappointed. I looked up at could see the hillside there where the bleacher seating was, and yeah, it was really thin.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of unusual because our pulls usually draw a really big crowd.
Yeah, that one is that's the benefit pull, and they used to do that down. They've done it at Eldora. They've done it at the old time Thrashers thing on 127. They've done it several places and never could get any kind of crowd. The first year they did it down here, we had more on Friday night than they had total any place else they had. But they, I think between them and the ambassadors, they tried to get a little too big this year. They gave out NTPA-type prize money instead of what they had been given out. They were trying to make it into a bigger event, like a second NTPA without being NTPA. And it didn't work very well. Now, they may be able to tweak some things and make it turn out just fine, or they may have to scale back to what they were. But they got the attendance they usually get. This would be the third or fourth year at Fort Recovery for that, for the benefit pull. They got the attendance they usually get, but paid out like three times the prize money. So for that event, they had a decent crowd, which is usually about half or less of what the NTPA pull had always brought. So they tried to get a little, tried to add another
layer
NTPA type thing, and it didn't work this time. That doesn't mean it can't work. I don't get in on the workings of that. I help them with the gates, and that's what I do, and that's all I do.
Last night was, again,
huge.
It looked packed. It was the awesome amount of cars parked along the roadways, and then I could see up into the crowd, and it looked like there wasn't a seat anywhere. So that's super exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
They ran pretty late because it was pretty easy to hear them out of my house.
Well,
so
it was 11:20 when they finished. That's when I was in the process. I thought I was going to beat the crowd, and I was walking to my car or walking through the back of the grandstands after we got the money and the wristbands all figured out, and I thought I was going to beat the crowd, and he said, we know who won that one, and we'll see you all tomorrow night. It's good. They had apparently a really, really strong, really good pull on that last one, and I only hear them. I don't look at them. I don't. I couldn't care less. I'll help them with their stuff, and everybody ought to see a tractor pull sometime because the power is just unreal.
It's unbelievable.
But as far as getting into it, I just don't. But anyway, and this one was a really good one. The crowd was just screaming. You could hear the crowd over the tractor. That's how big it was. And he said, well, we'll give you the numbers in a minute, but it's not very hard to tell who won this one. And just then he said, well, here's the numbers, and we'll see you tomorrow night for the same show. And then I managed to beat a pretty good amount of people to my car and get out. So from the time I looked down at my watch, it was 6:23 when he said that. And it was 6:29 when I got onto the highway, so that was pretty good. That was really good. I was expecting 15 or 20 minutes. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, again, the weather it last evening and today is going to be tremendous. But where I was going with that is it's, for our area for sure, it's a little bit dry. So, you know, I wanted to touch on watering today. I know my lawn is certainly suffering a bit, a lot drier than I'd like it to be. One of these days when I get my work caught up, which hasn't been in 27 years so far, I want to put irrigation, turf lawn irrigation in at my house because I'm kind of particular about that, and I hate when it goes,
running out of kids to send out with the hose.
Right, exactly. they're leaving the nest quickly. I want to get irrigation in. It just makes, again, for me, it just works. It would work because when areas start going brown like they are now, it's just disappointing. I want to be able to keep it consistently growing and green throughout the season. So it is kind of dry. If you've planted new plants this spring, that might be trees, shrubs, perennials, annuals, anything, you know, take into consideration they're probably going to be thirsty right now. So, you know, again, beautiful morning, very, very cool temperatures for this time of year. Put your earbuds in and go out and give your plants a little bit of a drink because they're certainly going to appreciate it. Now, if we're talking about a mature landscape that's been in for a long period of time, there's certainly no problem with those trees and shrubs that have been in for years and years and years. They're not, I mean, that's not to say that they're not going to appreciate a little bit extra water this summer, but we're certainly not in a droughty type situation where everything needs watered. Thank goodness. We've been in that situation before this time of year, but this year we've had enough rain showers blow through that, we're pretty solid around here. I know, again, if you go south, if you get into Greenville and south, they've had just an unbelievable amount of rain. Probably Cincinnati, between Dayton and Cincinnati, I think they've had one of the wettest seasons on record. They just consistently get hit every time the rains come through. But again, we're just in a little area between here and St. Henry that, even into Maria Stein a bit, that's just a little bit drier than everybody else. And so you're going to start to see the lawns kind of go brown. There's really not any significant chances of rain in the forecast. So watering's really important, again, for your trees and shrubs. If you have very little time and you got to rank importance on your watering would be, you know, trees would be your first. If you have trees that might be struggling because of lack of moisture, they're going to be the first on your list because the trees are pretty important to our environment. And then they also, they're going to be the most long-lived. I mean, they should outlive all of us. I mean, they should live.
Yeah. And if they happen to die, it's a big expense to replace them.
A big expense, especially if it's a bigger tree, big expense to remove the tree, and then a big expense to install a new, you know, nice-sized tree. So it's important to keep those things watered and happy and healthy. And then, of course, your landscaping around your house, your trees or your shrubs and evergreens and shrubs around your house. Then your priority would be, you know, your perennial flowers that consistently come back year after year. Then your annuals, because they only are going to last a season anyhow. And then your turf, you know, your turf does, whether it's bluegrass or turf type tall fescue, it's going to be able to tolerate a dry summer. It's going to go through a dry summer, especially if it's bluegrass. It's going to turn brown. It's going to look lousy, and you're going to be concerned with it potentially. Maybe you're going to be happy because you don't have to mow. But you're going to be concerned with it when it turns brown. But 9 times out of 10, if it's just a drought stress, it's going to come right back again.
Yeah, and you get two or three, you get a decent rain, it starts to come. If you get another one within 2 or 3 days, it's basically green again.
Yeah, it'll recover just fine. So
it's just taking a nap.
Yeah, that's your priorities as far as trying to water goes. You know, again, I'm awfully particular, so when my lawn starts to go off color, I'm usually trying to water, set some sprinklers up. And I have done that, but I got a pretty big yard, so it's hard to keep everything wet. So more than anything, I've been worrying about watering plants and pots and containers and some of the perennials and annuals around the house immediately. And then when I get to it, I might set a sprinkler up out front to kind of keep the grass green. But again, the point is it's a little bit dry, so stretch those hoses out, get the sprinklers out, spend a little bit of time. You know, people say, oh, well, watering, especially if you're in town, you know, watering is very expensive. And, you know, I guess I might argue with that a little bit. Yeah, I mean, the city doesn't give that stuff away for free. But, you know, watering your trees and shrubs around your house is certainly, in my opinion, a fantastic, I guess, investment, you could say, in keeping those things happy and healthy and growing and looking nice. Certainly, those plants and especially the trees, to me, are very valuable. And then they also, you know, a well-landscaped house and then nice wooded lot or tree, you know, lots, trees around your house certainly is a huge asset or increase in the price of your property. So it is, you know, it is an asset. It is, yeah, an investment that you know, has value.
Yeah. So if your water bill goes up $20 or $30 that month, that's half of a nice bush.
That's you know,
half of the cost of replacing one.
That is, yeah, you know, $20 to $50, you know, quite honestly, is peanuts in, yeah, the overall cost to grow and maintain, you know, a nice, you know, beautiful landscape. And again, in, you ever have any desire or in your future that, you know, you potentially would sell your property, I mean, that's a
yeah,
the amount of money you're going to spend on keeping your landscaping looking nice is going to pay you 20-fold in your asking price if the place looks great, you know, from a curb appeal standpoint. So anyhow, we'll get to a break, and we got a number of other topics to get to besides tractor pulling.
Okay. It's probably a good idea since it's a garden show.
Right.
But tractors, you got garden tractors.
That's right.
Although we were doing the big tractors. Anyway, back after this.
The versatile Kubota B-Series is a do-it-all tractor. Run powerful attachments that can be easily switched out. It features a hydrostatic transmission and is simple to maintain. The Kubota B-Series. It makes the hard work look easy. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Buying a new grill from a big warehouse is like trying to start your old grill. You can end up standing around by yourself and nothing happens. That's not what happens at Ace. Wengler Ace Hardware has an exclusive lineup of premium brands plus premium service from the people who know you best. We'll make sure you get the right grill, whether it's gas, wood pellet, or a flat top griddle. And better yet, we'll assemble and deliver it right to your patio. Don't forget, your newest grill is never far away, and neither is our help. That's why grilling starts at Ace. Stop by Wengler Ace Hardware in Fort Recovery, your grilling destination.
Need a better job where the benefits are great. A family-friendly company with competitive pay. Where people stop and greet me when they see my smiling face. Cooper Farms. It's more than a workplace.
Full-time production positions start at $15.25 an hour. To apply, visit CooperFarmsJobs.com. Cooper Farms. It's more than a workplace.
this is Stacy Faller with the Fort Recovery Friends of the Arts. We invite you to join us this Sunday, August 1st at 7 p.m. for a Journey tribute with Infinity and Beyond. With over four decades of Journey hits to choose from, we guarantee you'll be singing along. These musicians go to extremes to perform Journey's songs the way they were meant to be heard. For more information, please pick up a brochure, visit our website at FortRecoveryFriendsOfTheArts.com or find us on Facebook.
You're invited to stop out and watch the Indians football team's home scrimmage on Friday, August 16th, as they prepare for the upcoming football season. It's also Meet the Team Night, with a meal starting at 5 o'clock. Get a sandwich, chips, applesauce, a homemade dessert, and a drink for only $6. The meal tickets are pre-sale only, with tickets available at Toby's Carryout, Wangler Hardware, and St. Joe's Store. And the team will be signing team pictures after the scrimmage. The Indians will take on the Lakers from Indian Lake at 7 p.m., and there's no charge to watch the scrimmage. So grab the family and head on out to the football field and meet the high school and junior high football teams, have a great meal, and watch our Indians in their scrimmage against Indian Lake. That's Friday, August 16th, with the meal starting at 5 o'clock, pre-sale only for the meal, and tickets are available at Toby's Carryout, Wangler Hardware, and St. Joe's Store. See you there.
And we're back. A walk through the garden with Steve Stone. We had been talking about watering of lawns and trees and plants and the tractor pull. So now we're shifting gears.
Yeah, we're shifting gears again. A lot of different things happening this time of year. Well, I talked last week about mimosa webworm and had a customer come in this week, him and his wife, and had a bunch of... I always have people bring me baggies of leaves in, and it's kind of funny. There's not a week that goes by that I don't get back from appointments or stop in, and there'll be three or four bags laying on my desk with notes stapled to them or sticky notes stuck to them. What's wrong with my tree, or what's wrong with my bush, or what's wrong with this, or why is it doing this? It's kind of, which is fine. I actually enjoy that, and I enjoy the challenge of figuring out what it is and helping customers. So that's always a good time. I guess, see, I'm easy to please.
Yeah.
That's kind of a good time.
You're easily amused.
Easily amused. The ones that are, irritating is not the right word. Frustrating would be maybe a good word, is the person that calls on the phone and says, hey, my tree's got yellow leaves on it. What's wrong with it? And I get that a lot.
Yeah.
And I sit there with my phone in my hand, and I'm thinking, okay, do people call our wonderful Dr. Hosbach and say, yep, hey, Doc, I don't feel good. What's wrong with me?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, yeah. On a good day, I laugh, and on a bad day, I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. What's wrong with my tree? How in the heck am I supposed to know? Where's it planted? What kind of tree is
just
it?
Just look it up on the Google machine. Yellow leaves, what's wrong?
What's wrong with it? So I had a real nice guy come in, and he had a big bag of locust leaves and branches, and he was concerned with all the brown leaves that he was seeing. Actually, I talked about that last week with the mimosa webworm, and it was obvious, you know, what it was. And they were causing what I had mentioned last week was flagging, was what it's called, flagging, which means the ends of the branches are turning brown, and the leaves kind of fold over on each other because the bugs are in there feeding, and they take their silk that they make, and they knit those leaves together, and then they're in there, and then they feed and mate and create more little bugs and create more brown leaves. So I got him squared away. He had to ask kind of a good question I didn't touch on last week with the mimosa webworm. He said, I got him a product, an insecticide that would get rid of the insects. And then he said, well, what about all these brown leaves? My tree's not huge. He said, should I go through and trim all of this off? And that was a good question, fair question. And I said, well, he was concerned that those, because the leaves were brown, the tissue or the stems were dead. So he was going to clean all that off to make sure his tree looked nice. And my comment to him was, well, the foliage looks bad. They'll kill the leaves, or cause the leaves to brown and drop. But the stems, buds, branches, whatever you want to call them, all that stuff is actually still alive. There's nothing wrong with it. They're damaging the leaves. They're not damaging the stems. So no, don't trim that off, because you're trimming off tissue, you know, that's perfectly fine. So no, don't go through and trim that off, because again, they're just simply damaging the leaves. The tree is going to produce new buds, and it's going to put out new foliage. So there's no reason to take the woody tissue off, because it's perfectly fine. They're not affecting that at all. Now, that would be the case on, you know, mimosa webworms, and probably the case on, like, fall webworms that create those big nests, because, again, they're damaging the foliage. They're not damaging the stems and branches. Now, again, it gets back to, like, I've seen a lot of bagworm issues. I had a number of properties I stopped at this week that were struggling with bagworms. And at this point, you know, you'd have to be nearly blind not to see the issues now. Early in the season with bagworms, they're little bitty tiny critters that are maybe an eighth of an inch long. And unless you're specifically looking for them and know what you're looking for, you're not going to pay attention or see them. This time of year, they've fed and grown sufficiently enough that, you know, they're carrying a little bag around with them that's probably, I don't know, in some cases, probably pushing almost an inch, at least 3/4 of an inch long. And they're still milling about. And at this point, they're big, ugly critters. If you get them outside that bag, they're just ugly. And they, again, will strip, you know, foliage off your evergreens. The ones I looked at were on arborvitas. And again, causing a decent amount of damage, but the arborvitas were relatively small, easy to kind of get to height wise and so I told the homeowner, who had a couple of you know, smaller children, that that you could just simply pick them off and put them in a bag and burn them, destroy them, get rid of them. And you didn't have to really use an insecticide, because they were large enough, it was really easy to see. So she had told me that she had told her kids to take them off. So the kids were plucking them off. And then once they realized that there were bugs and there was a worm inside the little cocoon, they freaked out and they wouldn't help her anymore.
I thought you were going to say they wanted to see them. They started opening it up. And
no, she said it was a great game to tell her kids to take them off until they realized exactly what they were doing and what was inside the cute little cocoon. There was this ugly, nasty, black looking worm, and after they realized that, she said, I can't get them to come out and help me anymore.
Got the ew factor.
So we got her squared away. I think she was just going to pluck them and stomp on them.
Yeah.
To get rid of them. But in some cases, again, with the size of the plant might be so big that you need to do an insecticide application. And they're still very actively feeding and moving about. And so you can get the insecticide to the insect to get good control. Now, we're going to get, I mean, it's already nearly August. It's going to get towards the end of about another 4 weeks. And those critters are going to actually call it quits for the year, and they're going to knit that bag shut. And then at that point, an insecticide application is just simply not going to work. And I see a lot of people, not so reputable people out there, recommending treating. And treating is fine this time of year. But once we get into fall, into September, if somebody tells you they're going to put an insecticide application on your trees for bagworms and get control, they're shysters, because that is not going to work. Once those things are cocooned inside, that cocoon is very tough. It's knitted shut with just an unbelievable amount of silk webbing, and you are simply not going to get an insecticide that's going to penetrate that and kill that bug that's inside there. So again, at that point, you're definitely reduced to just, I guess you could say, the song and dance of removing and putting them on the ground and stomp on them. You really, you know, again, want to destroy them. You want to burn them or stomp on them, get rid of them. If you get a neighbor you don't like, throw them underneath his trees. I don't know, but
that's probably not a good idea, because they can sneak their way back to your house.
They will come back for sure. But they, you know, again, just removing them is not killing them. You're removing a cocoon that has between 100 and maybe as many as, I don't remember what it was, I think 1 to 500 or 1 to 400. There could be as many as, there's hundreds of eggs inside each one of those cocoons. And so again, that's, you know, they're going to hatch in the spring unless you, you know, literally destroy them. So even if, again, if you take them off, I had an instant a number of years ago with, and it was kind of funny, but yet it wasn't funny. They had bagworms all over these arborvitas that were like in front of their house. And so they have this huge long row windscreen of Austrian pines on the west side of their property. And they have kind of a little compost pile, burn pile, little pile of organics that they kind of keep in the back corner. And the homeowner went to all the trouble of pulling all those bags off and then threw them in that pile in the back. And then in the springtime, the backside of all of those Austrian pines were covered with bagworms, and it's because they just removed them and threw them in that pile, and and they still hatched, and they were hungry looking for something, and it's like, hey, right there's a big Austrian pine. And so, you know, again, point to the story is make sure you get rid of the suckers. Like I said, you got to burn them or step on them or something, but you got to get rid of them.
I'm thinking stepping on them, if they're little eggs, you might not get all of them.
Well, when you step on them, it's interesting.
Oh,
make sure you have shoes on.
Yeah, and maybe don't do it in the driveway in front of your house.
That's a great idea, unless you want green
splotches all over,
green Jello all over your driveway. It's not the prettiest thing ever. So we need to get to a different topic. Had a person call in about, or actually showed me a picture of their tomato plant this week, and it was looking haggard and torn and kind of heading south. And this time of year, you want to be aware, and again, you'd have to be, I don't know if this is politically correct, I usually say things that are completely inappropriate, but you'd have to be Stevie Wonder blind to miss these suckers, because these tomato hornworms are, they're not the size of a roll of dimes, but they're close.
Wow.
They're big, and they're really ugly, and they kind of have a weird look to them, and you most people wouldn't want to touch them. They don't hurt you, but they're really big, the tomato hornworm, and there's a tomato hornworm and a tobacco hornworm.
Oh, yep.
And the tobacco hornworm and the tomato hornworm look very similar. They're bright green.
Except one of them's smoking.
One of them's got emphysema. The one thing that's, again, you could miss them at a glance, because they are really big and they're really lime green. They're the same color as a small tomato, and they're the same color as the stems or you know, branches of your tomato plant. I mean, identical color. So the hornworm
sounds like they're clever.
They're clever. The hornworms have, you know, some striping and some white stripes on them, and they have, believe it or not, they have this horn that kind of sticks out the front of their head.
Hornworms have a horn,
and so they're very noticeable. But you know, they're big critters, and one insect can strip your plants. They will eat your green tomatoes. If you are looking at one, which is not uncommon, and you look at it, and the top side looks, I can't wait. That's going to be a perfect tomato. I can't wait till that baby turns red. And then you reach in to grab it, and the whole back side of the plant or the tomato is missing. Then you're kind of disappointed at that point. But that's tomato hornworm. Those are, you know, again, even if you have a huge tomato patch, you could easily go through and probably collect them. You know, there could be 12 or 20. It doesn't matter. But again, if you don't want to touch them, there's all different types of insecticides and powders and stuff that you can apply. Just make sure that they're labeled for food crops and you can get rid of them. Again, very, very common this time of year, and can cause a tremendous amount of damage in your garden if you somehow miss them. But they're pretty hard to miss.
But they're camouflaged.
They are camouflaged extremely well. The color is, like I said, it's just it's just dead on same color as your tomatoes, so you could walk by and miss it relatively easy. But once you see that big, it's actually kind of, I got a picture of one on my phone. Now, why would I have a picture of that on my phone?
Because somebody sent it to you.
It's got kind of a big red horn that sticks right out of the middle of its head, so we could dub it some kind of a unicorn because it's got that big horn sticking out of its head. But anyhow, those can get in your garden and damage some fruit. I mean, they're not going to, you know, wipe out. Well, I guess they could wipe out a tomato plant if you don't check on your garden very often. But occasionally, like I said, if you see one, you know, knock them to the ground and stomp on them and you're golden. So we need to get to a break and we'll be back.
It's time to begin planning your landscape improvements for this summer. Nature's Green Nursery can design a beautiful, cost-effective, no-maintenance landscape for your home or business with quality trees, shrubs, perennials, soils, and mulch. Steve Stone has a degree in horticulture landscape. Call Nature's Green at 419-375-2322 today and set up a free landscape design and evaluation. Check out Nature's Green on the web or like them on Facebook. Nature's Green Nursery on State Route 119 just east of Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Proudly serving the Fort Recovery area for over 23 years, Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage has the expertise to handle any dirt work you need. From installing waterways and building pads to demolition work and septic system installation, Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage has all the equipment you need to get the job done right. Does your driveway need some fresh gravel or do you need some dirt hauled in? We can take care of all your hauling needs as well. Give Brian a call at 419-852-6655. Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage. Go Indians.
If you're doing some grilling this summer, you need to get to Wayne Street Market and stock up during their No Limit Meat Sale with great prices on their well-trimmed steaks. Ribeyes are $9.99 a pound, and New York strips, T-bones, and flat iron steaks are just $8.99 a pound. And if you're looking for great barbecue sauce or dry rub, they have Wendell's Barbecue and Dave's Famous Sauces and Rubs. Also, they have brats from Carando, Johnsonville, and Swaggerty Farms, and Eckrich hot dogs are 2 for $3. And in the freezer section, they have 1 pound salmon fillets for just $6.99. And if you'd like to cook breakfast on your Blackstone griddle, be sure to pick up some eggs, potatoes, onions, peppers, and bacon or sausage. Get everything you need for this year's grilling season during their No Limit Meat Sale at Wayne Street Market, the best meat market around.
The 2021 Win on Wabash will be held August 27th and 28th at Ambassador Park in Fort Recovery. In addition to the $750,000 of cash and prizes that we will be giving away in the Tow and Go and Main Super Raffle, there will be side raffles, daily 50-50 drawings, stage games, mechanical bull riding, mobile axe throwing, vendors, food, drinks, and top-notch entertainment, including our Friday headlining band, Ladder, and our Saturday headliner, Nashville recording artist Adam Warner. Check us out on the web at wowraffle.com and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for all the latest updates and information. We can't wait to party with all of you at the Win on Wabash August 27th and 28th.
And we're back on A Walk Through the Garden with Steve Stone. So, well, we've talked about ugly worms, and we've talked about bagworms, and we've talked about the tractor pull, and we've talked about
what's
irrigation.
Left? Is there, I can't think of any ultra exciting news with the Buckeyes this week, other than they're going to be starting before long. So,
yep, won't be long.
Wanted to touch base on. We talked earlier in the show about irrigation and kind of finish up today with turf. That kind of goes hand in hand there with talked about the lawns being a little bit dry right now. If you've got a dry lawn that's not growing extremely well and you're out there milling about, you might see your white tennis shoes turn kind of an orange, have an orange cast to them. And right now the turf, when it's growing unbelievably slow because of lack of rainfall and with the heat and the humidity, rust is an issue. Bluegrass rust or just lawn turf rust, and it's a disease that will get into, you'll find it in primarily bluegrass and perennial rye lawns, but you can see it occasionally in fescue, but unusual to see it in fescue, mostly in bluegrass. It is a turf disease that will get into the blades of the grass, and you'll have these they're called pustules that will produce a bright orange powder, which is actually spores, and you'll see it again when the humidity, heat and the humidity is right and the turf's growing slow, which obviously this time of year because of lack of rain, it's going to be growing very slow. You're going to see rust, and you'll notice it on your tennis shoes. You'll notice it, I mean, if you get younger kids and are out playing in the yard, pets, whatever, you can see that orange dust. It's a spore. It's nothing to get excited about. It's not going to cause any long-term effects. It's not going to cause you or your kids to grow a large red horn out of the middle of their forehead,
like the
hornworm.
Yeah, like the tomato
hornworm
thingy.
But again, it is more of a nuisance than anything. It's not anything that's going to cause the turf to die. The turf's not, you know, on its last leg. Once the temperatures cool down and we get some rainfall, basically the problem will grow out of the turf. If you want to speed that up, you can do a light application of fertilizer, and again, you're basically just going to be growing the problem out of the turf. So it is very noticeable. I've had a couple of calls on it this week, but again, if you're gonna have a turf disease, that's the one to have, because it's not long lived and it's not going to cause your grass any significant harm going forward.
So does that stuff kind of hang around and then come back?
It'll come back every season. I mean, mm-hmm. But it always comes in July, August. Mm-hmm. When it's hot and dry, you have slow growing conditions. Again, you know, I talked about irrigation earlier in the show. You know, you probably aren't going to find it, you know, over at the Elks, because they have an incredible program. And the turf's always irrigated, so it's always growing and it's always got plenty of nutrients. You're not going to find it on a well-maintained turf that's getting irrigated regularly, because the turf isn't growing slow. Well, actually, I take that back. On a high-maintenance turf like a golf course, you're going to find it in the roughs. You're not going to find it in the fairways. You're going to find it on your turf because, again, your turf's growing very slowly. And it's just the time of year you're going to see it. But once we get into September, it's going to be completely gone, and you're never going to see it again until the following July, August. So nothing to get hugely excited about. But again, to fix it, they're absolutely not necessary to do a fungicide. A little bit of fertilizer and a little bit of water is going to fix the problem quickly and effectively with no, you know, huge expense involved. So just touching on turf a little bit, if you've got some weed issues and you're struggling with, again, a lawn that's, you know, thirsty, I would probably shy away from, you know, doing any kind of a broadcast herbicide application right now. The lawn's stressed and you don't need to stress it anymore by putting a herbicide on. You can certainly spot treat weeds if you see a dandelion here or there. You know, mix up your herbicide, your 2,4-D or your broadleaf herbicide in a small spray bottle, and just hit those weeds that you're seeing. But as far as doing a complete broadcast application, I certainly wouldn't do that right now. The turf's stressed, and if even the weeds might be struggling a bit for moisture, and so your uptake and your control's probably not going to be as good as you'd like it to be. So I got to get to work. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Please send us your questions, emails, anything that you have that would be pertinent for us to talk about on air. We'd be happy to do it.
Yep. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us again this week for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. If you have a gardening question you'd like Steve to answer, just email him at steve@naturesgreennursery.com and he'll answer it on a later show. Be sure to join us again next week for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone.